start, and let me answer that question. This is a little bit of an intro to the entire book, and it's really good to know. The Alter Rebbe originally put to writing two different works that really express the heart of Chassidus. Even though you ask a person, what's Chassidus? Tell me Chassidus on one foot. It's one of those difficult questions that you can give a simple answer and a complex answer. But I heard this from a colleague of mine, and it makes so much sense to me, that he says that when the Baal Shem Tov was an infant, he became orphaned from his mother. He was an orphan from his father and his mother very young. Before his father passed away, his father called him in, and his father told him, he called him by his name, and he told him two things. He told him, Yisraelik, fear no one and nothing other than God, and love every single Jew with all of your heart. And you can argue that this is the whole Chassidus. Really fearing nothing other than God, and that has everything to do with understanding the meaning of the mitzvah of Achdus Hashem. There's a mitzvah in the 613, the mitzvah of Achdus Hashem, literally translated as the oneness of God. And if you were to ask a person, what is that mitzvah? They cannot tell you, well, it's the mitzvah to believe in one God. That's another mitzvah, to believe in God and in one God. Achdus Hashem goes way beyond the belief in one God. And this is really expounded in what now is the second portion of Tanya, known as Sha'ar HaYichud V'Ha'emunah. It's a 12-chapter, let's say, thesis, and the Alter Rebbe really expounds very deeply, but in a way that if a person is intelligent, they can grasp the understanding of the oneness of Hashem, and how indeed there is taken nothing other than God. What does that mean? Big words. There's nothing other than God. What about the table? So he explains it. Then there's a mitzvah of Avas Yisrael. You can argue that the whole first section of Tanya, Lekutei Amarim, which is really, as the Alter Rebbe himself writes, a guide of advice for all different types of challenges that people could encounter if they want to get closer to Hashem. But the heart of Lekutei Amarim, chapter Lev, chapter heart, is about Avos Yisrael.
What do you mean chapter Lev?
That there's 53 chapters. Chapter 32, we call it Pedek Lev, because it's about the heart. It's about the mitzvah on the heart. And the way the Alter Rebbe explains the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, in a way that before the Alter Rebbe, no one explained it the way he does. No one can. It's the way Chassidus, it's through the light of Chassidus that we have a whole new insight. And we'll get there to Avos Yisrael. It's predicated on the premise of understanding a lot of what we're learning about in Lekutei Amarim. So Lekutei Amarim means a gathering of sayings. A gathering of sayings. The Alter Rebbe, for many years, was meeting with people. They had Yechidus. And the goal of Yechidus, today by hour, we would go to the Rebbe. What would you ask the Rebbe if you would meet the Rebbe?
Today?
Yeah.
When is Mashiach?
Huh? Okay, and if Mashiach is here, then what would you ask the Rebbe? Okay. In other words, that the ideal, exactly, the ideal question that a chassid would ask a Rebbe is not, help me with my parnasa, even though that's extremely important. That was secondary. Even not, help me with my health. Even though that's extremely important, if a person is not healthy, how can they do what Hashem created us to do? People would meet a Rebbe to find out, what does Hashem want for me? What's the purpose of my life? That was the quest. And in that context, the Alter Rebbe meeting people for all of these years, encountering thousands of people that had different challenges in getting closer to Hashem, he compiled Lekutei Amarim. And a lot of it has to do with Avos Yisrael. And then the question was, should he, when he printed the Sefer of Tanya, should he first print Shar HaYichud V'Emunah, that speaks about the oneness of God, or should he first a print, Likutei Amarim. And what would you do? It's a good question. If you wrote a book that speaks about the oneness of God, about God, and then there, another section about how are we to serve God, which one should come first? The oneness of God is the foundation of all the foundations. It's like, what is really reality? What God is certainly a lot more important than what my purpose is. Nevertheless, the Alter Rebbe chose to put this first. Because even if a person doesn't properly understand the meaning of the oneness of God, they have to do what they were created to do. Or let me word it differently. If a person does their mission, even if they never had the schus to fully grasp the meaning of the oneness of God, they did their mission. And if the person understands theology, you'll be the biggest chachemis. You'll understand exactly Yechudei Lo and Yechudei Tato. But if I won't fulfill my purpose for which I was created, then what was the point of me understanding the oneness of God? One's action is always more important than belief in Yiddishkeit. As the Pirkei Avos says, Hamaisa Hu HaIkar. Not exact quote, but that's more or less what the Pirkei Avos says. There's nothing like action. And we know that to be true in this world. Action is king. And that was the whole Tanya. Likutei Amarim, Sha'arei Yichud V'Emuna. Many years later, the Alter Rebbe added Igeres HaTshuva. The Alter Rebbe added Igeres HaTshuva because when you learn a lot of Likutei Amarim, and we just started, and the standard, the high standard that the Alter Rebbe sets, will make mamish most people who learn Likutei Amarim feel that we are spiritual failures. Because if this is called the book for the average person, that's the book for the tzaddik is beyond me. Okay, so I'm the average person. Okay, I'll accept that. But to live up to the standard of the average person is really a big avoda. So I'm sure that many people felt the downside is that I need to do tshuva. And the Alter Rebbe wrote the Igeres HaTshuva that did the opposite of what Likutei Amarim does. Likutei Amarim humbles every person. What is expected of us is like way up there. When you have a high standard, well, first of all, if it's placed by the right person, it's going to inspire us to grow. Well, rule in life, standards are good unless it's coming from a bad place. Because if we set a standard and the goal is to make you feel like a loser, go jump over this bar. But if someone taka believes in you and you can do it and they put a high standard, you know what? Even if you never make it over the bar, it inspired you to get a lot higher than you would have gotten. So it's gewaldic that we have a high standard, but still people can feel I'm deficient, I'm less. And the Alter Rebbe wrote the Igeres HaTshuva, which makes tshuva so easy. Like mamash the opposite. As difficult as it is to live up to the Beinoni, equally as easy is it to follow through Igeres HaTshuva. And then the Alter Rebbe passed away. It means when the Alter Rebbe passed away, the entire Tanya only had three chapters, three sections. The first one, Likutei Amarim, then Igeres Sha'arei Yichud V'Emuna, and the third one, Igeres HaTshuva. After the Alter Rebbe passed away, his three sons, the Alter Rebbe had six children. He had three sons and three daughters. One of his daughters, the closest to him, could not live without him. She passed away a few months after his passing. Not only that, she's buried with him. Not only that, many people argue that we don't even know which marking is his and which is hers. Another one of his daughters gave up her life for him. When she sensed, Beruchnius, that they made a decree on the Alter Rebbe that he's to pass away, that's the Vayda Leo, so she davened to Hashem that she wants to go in the place of her father. And Hashem accepted her prayers. This is our tradition. And she passed away. Before he passed away, many years before he passed away. So the Alter Rebbe's three sons decided that they're going to add two other sections to the Tanya. They did it after he passed away. First, they went ahead and they gathered as many letters that they could that were written by the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe generally, Chassidus, he spoke. This is the exception. The Alter Rebbe spoke and he had five people that transcribed what he wrote. The next Lubavitcher Rebbe that spoke but didn't write was our Rebbe. All the other Rebbes in between, Chassidus, they wrote. I'm not comparing, but just if we have to just use a point of reference. Certain people, when they speak, it flows. But when they write, they get stuck. And certain people are mamash the opposite. If you give them to write, the Rebbe began to write my marim. He stopped. Earlier, he stopped. It means he went, he didn't even finish a maimer. It wasn't flowing. The Alter Rebbe was the same way. So there was very little writings because the Alter Rebbe was a speaker. So they felt that since the little that we had from his writing was gold, so they gathered all of the letters that they could get their hands on, and they put it in the Tanya. We have many more letters. Not only that, all of these letters were censored by them, that they cut out the beginning, because these letters sometimes are written to individuals. You don't see any names over here. There's a whole book written today, compiled. We did research, we found every letter. It gives you the history behind the letter. When it happened, there was a response. When you have that history, you appreciate the letter so much more. You have no idea. When you know the context, it changes everything.
Did someone compile that into a book?
There's a book. There's a book. You can get it today. I don't know if it's in English, but it's in Hebrew.
What is it called?
I forgot the name. It's a book that gives you the background of the Igeres HaKodesh. It's big.
Not the Kutei
Diburim. No. The Kutei Diburim is a book that was written by the previous Rebbe, which is beautiful. And that book, they translated into English. The Friedrich Rebbe was a real great writer. A mamash, a beautiful writer. So Igeres HaKodesh was the letters that he wrote. And then the Alter Rebbe himself wrote footnotes for himself on Likutei Amarim. And that is, they gathered the footnotes that they found, and they called that Kuntres Achron, like the final gathering of annotations. So Tanya right now has five sections. Likutei Amarim, Shari Yichud V'Emuna, Igeres HaTshuva, Igeres HaKodesh, and Kuntres Achron. When people speak about learning Tanya, truth be told, it can go to any one of the five. But the Alter Rebbe chose to write Likutei Amarim first, because even before we understand better the oneness of God, we have to know what is it that God expects of us. What am I here for? So even though I don't understand exactly who I'm serving, I have a Amunah Pshut, I'm serving God. That's already something. That's not something that's beautiful. Like a child. A child understands God. He's not sophisticated or she's not sophisticated. There's a beauty to that. Many big tzaddikim, after they learned a lot, they used to daven that God give me the purity that I had when I was a child, when I knew that I'm davening to you. Then they began to learn a lot of Kabbalah and all of these worlds and the godliness and the spheres. And sometimes you lose the simplicity, which is emes. You should know a klal, the more simple, the closer to God. That's the way it works, because God is one. The more sophisticated, the more divided, the farther from God. Now, sometimes we have to be sophisticated because our mission is to affect the world, and the world doesn't like simplicity. You have to be nuanced to connect to the world. But if you want to connect to God, the simpler, the better. Okay, so that was my long-winded answer to your question. These are the five halakim. We are learning Likutei Amarim, and we are up to Perek Hei. That's on page Tes. Perek Hei is, to a certain degree, a continuation with a very important detail, but a continuation nonetheless from Tanya Perek Dalet. What did we learn last week? What was Perek Dalet? Perek Dalet, we learned that the garments of the soul, which is the power of thought, the power of speech, the power of action. When I think or speak or do, my neshama is in those garments. You are invested. Think about it that way. When you think, even when you think, what part of you, what is going into your thoughts? Your soul. What is your soul? Well, the core cannot be defined. And what could be defined is your power of intellect and your emotional state. Moichin and Midas. Chabad, Chagas. It's good to get used to these definitions. I know that we are more than a definition, but it's really helpful. So the core cannot be defined, and the core, the essence, normally cannot express itself. And if the essence comes out, it doesn't come out through traditional ways. It's going to be some sort of, if you see someone whose essence is being revealed, they certainly won't be talking. you'll say they're having a breakdown. They're going to express themselves in non-traditional ways. The part of the soul that could be expressed is my intelligence and my feelings. And I express them through my thoughts. Think about it that way. My thoughts are not my intelligence. My thoughts is me talking to me. You have an inner dialogue, that's my thoughts. Now, what part of you is talking? Question is, who's listening? But what part of you is the talking? What are you expressing? You're either in your intelligence or your feelings are expressing themselves to another part of you. We have many parts inside of us. And we're talking to ourselves the whole time. Or you're speaking to someone else. But what are you putting in your words? Now, of course, a person can put nonsense in their words. But when you invest yourself, when you make an effort to speak, what are you putting in your words? You're putting you in your words. Who is the you? Either your intelligence or your feelings or both. That's what it is. Your intelligence, or you have an idea and you share it verbally, or you have a feeling and you share it verbally. Action. Action is putting either an idea or a feeling into action. Again, a person can do something nonsensical. We're not talking about that. That's a garment. You can have a garment in which no one is in. So there's garnished. There's no yichus of the garment per se. The garment you use to express yourself. A neshama, after it passes away, has even greater intelligence, has greater feelings. Eloma, what's lacking? What doesn't the neshama have after it passes away? It doesn't have garments. It doesn't have earthly garments. So therefore, it's unable to express itself in this world.
Neshama has intelligence.
Tremendous, because let's go. See, we're going back to simple things. We hear it, you have to hear it from different angles. If I were to ask you, what is a neshama? So one correct answer is, a neshama, like everything else, is multi-layered. Not different sections, multi-layered, like the babushka doll. The essence cannot be defined. The core of the neshama cannot be defined. But the part of the neshama that we could define and we do define is the koyach of understanding and the koyach of feeling, otherwise known as the 10 spheres. So the neshama, you can't say the neshama is intelligence. The neshama is beyond that. The core is not defined. But the neshama has intelligence and has feelings. That's soul powers. Your intelligence is your soul power. Your feelings is your soul power, both the godly and the animal. Now, these powers in this world, for them to affect anything in this world, they have to express themselves. And the neshama, referring back not to the core, but to the chabad, to the moichin and midis. Let's use these words. Moichin means intelligence, and midis means all of your feelings. That they express themselves through garments that God gave to us, which are thoughts, speech, and action. This is a very simple but a very important way of organizing self in your own mind. So who am I? Just beginning. So I have a soul. There's the core, the koichos, and the garments. When a person passes away, all they lose are the garments for this world. Make no mistake, the soul is able to communicate in a different world to other souls. It has more refined garments. But those garments don't function over here. They're not material. The body, to a certain degree, is one big garment to the soul. Okay, then we learned Empedic Dalid, that look at the concept that the same garments that my neshama could use when it's doing what God wants, those garments are God garments. The mitzvahs are the garments of Hashem. The precise words that we used in the Zohar is the mitzvahs are God's limbs, but that's the meaning of a limb. Like the body is a garment, that's all the body is. Parenthetically, I don't know if you guys ever were involved in, but I know that by the guys in Crown Heights, when people just get married, we are encouraged to join the Chevra Kadisha. And in LA, there is a Chevra Kadisha is a name of all communal. It used to be any group that was involved in communal work was called Chevra Kadisha. It used to be that Chevra Kadisha had within it Bikur Chaylim, Menachem Asas Kala, everything. For some reason, Bashgacha Protest, for hundreds of years already, All other mitzvahs are named by the mitzvah. So there's a Bikur Chaylim organization, and there's a Achnos Haskalah organization, and you have beautiful organizations. And the organization that's named Chevra Kadisha are the people that are involved in burying people who passed away. It's morbid, but I'm telling you, it's the best thing you can do. It changes everything to the better. Not that I was involved that many times. Once is enough. I know that over here, there's a woman, a Lubavitcher woman, that reached out to me a few years ago, asking me, going back, I think it was 7 years, and Ataka and a few women joined for a little bit. Every now and then, they need to have, just in case. Now you have to learn a few halachas. It's difficult, but when you see a person, especially if you knew them after they passed away, it's mamash refuah, because it makes you look at you differently, mm-hmm. in a very healthy way, a very healthy way. And I buried a person that I knew, meaning I mamash was involved in the Tara. He was not my age, not that long ago. He was 36 years old. Remember, I came home and the way I looked at my hands, I was different. I mamash understood that this is a garment, it's just a garment. And it's good, it just changes everything. You begin to value that which is emes. Now, while we're here, it's very important. Even the garment. We're not supposed to go around with a dirty garment. We have to make sure that we're healthy. All that. But it's a garment. Not to confuse the garment with the ikr. But we learned last week, the chap of the Alter Rebbe, that being that God is infinite, we want to connect to God. Well, how can you connect to something that's infinite? So God, in his kindness, God invested himself in garments or in limbs. And now that God is in the garment, now we can grasp God. If he's outside of the garment, like a neshama, can you grab onto a neshama? No. But when the neshama is living, then the person is with you. So kaviyachal, Hashem garbs himself. But what's God's garment? The garment of the soul is a body. What's God's garment? My mitzvahs. Not my intelligence. Even my holy intelligence, not my feelings, even not my holy feelings. They're mine, they're not God's. But the garments, meaning the words of Torah, the actions of mitzvahs, they are mamish, the garments of God.
So our garments are our body and our thoughts and our...
Take the body out for a second. I'll bring the body in later. Your garments, your thoughts, your words, and your actions... If they are mitzvah-oriented, when they are thoughts, words, or actions connected to mitzvahs, they are God's garments at the same time. Wow. God is in those garments, even though you made them. If God forbid, if no Jews would learn, if there'll be no Torah and mitzvahs, then God wouldn't have a single garment in this world. Then God would, God forbid, be like a neshama without a body. And in this world, a neshama, in this world, they're not here. They are here, but they can't manifest there. The manifestation of Hashem in this world, just like the manifestation of my neshama in this world, is dependent on my neshama having a body. And I'm using now the word garment for the body. For Hashem, God's garments are the Jewish people's mitzvahs. You know, this thought, you can hear it 1,000 times, and most people don't chap what they're hearing. This is such a gvaldike concept. It means every time you're doing a mitzvah, at that moment you are creating a garment which allows God to be present in this world. So people say,
it sounds like it limits God's power. How can that be?
Okay, keep on talking.
So if nobody does mitzvahs,
then God won't be manifest in this world. Let me. So we spoke about that last week. These things we have to speak about and speak about. Yes, God is in everything. God is in everything. But the amount of tzimtzum that needed to happen in order for the little spark of God to be able to give life to this table was so many tzimtzumim that even though it's here, but it's completely hidden from us. The spark of God in the table is in exile. What's that exile? It's stuck. It's like in jail. It cannot reveal itself. It cannot manifest itself. You know when the spark of the table becomes manifest? When someone is going to use the table for what the table was created for. and the table doesn't have the koyach to do it on its own, even though there's God in there. It's trapped. Nebach, it's like a baby, can't move, it's crying. Needs
it.
The minute you go ahead and you say that I'm going to take this wood and I'm going to make it into a table and I'm going to put the table in a Jewish home and I'm going to use the table to do mitzvahs with it, that redeems the spark.
What if it's just a table? Like a table in an office with a face, like no mitzvahs.
Then that table, that the godliness in that table is trapped and it's not revealed. This is the same concept from a different angle. So you, me, Yidden, the Jewish people, have a koyach. The goyim's purpose is not to redeem sparks. Words of the Tanya. Words of the Arizal. The purpose of all of the people in the world is to make this world a kind, good, nice place. You should know that the theme of Tikkun Olam, which is the most beautiful theme, is a universal theme, has nothing to do with Judaism. I'm not saying this in a derogatory way. Every human being has an obligation to make this world a place in where there is no crime, and where there is kindness, and where there is no illness, and there is no hunger. This is a universal obligation on mankind. The unique mission of the Jew is not making the world good, but it's making the world godly. And don't confuse good and godly. Don't even confuse spirituality and godliness. I know spirituality. Godliness, we don't know. Well, how do we know? When Mashiach will come, there'll be a Psabeis HaMikdash, we'll see godliness. Spirituality is not as tangible as the table, but it's something of this world. And people confuse them. And many people get disappointed. I did a mitzvah and I don't feel spiritual. Who said the mitzvah was supposed to make you feel spiritual? The mitzvah was, using the words of the Alter Rebbe, the purpose for which God made the world. God wants these mitzvahs to be happening by the choice of a Jew. That is the purpose for which the world was created. Now, people can, God forbid, say, I don't believe in that. Beseder. Not Beseder, but this is the purpose. That means God made a world. God wanted. What did God want from the world? God wanted a Jew in Golus. Instead of choosing to do something that's even just neutral, you're taking an hour, I'm going to learn God's Torah. God created everything for this. And when that happens, then, in different ways of wording it, is the spark released. Is the spark no longer entrapped? It feels, finally, I'm doing what I was meant to do. Or, in different words, then this table becomes mamish, a garment for God. God wants to help you hold up the book. God doesn't want you to have to hold the book in the hand. So that's it. God therefore put the table here, so I'm a chaya, so you can now learn Torah easier. This is the body of God. Someone was laughing about the wafer. I don't mind repeating it because they took these concepts from us, the goyim. That there is the manifestation or the embodiment of godliness, don't say the word God, of godliness is in the mitzvahs of the Jewish people. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe pointed out in Perek Daled, think about it, my thoughts, speech, and actions are my garments. Those same garments are God's garments. All of a sudden, we're sharing the same garment. So we are becoming one with God.
But not the thoughts.
The thoughts.
Just the speech.
No. The thoughts. Thoughts are already considered something of this world.
Not mitzvahs.
No, there are thoughts. Oh, no. That's wrong. Sure, there are mitzvahs. How are they not mitzvahs?
We have mitzvahs to think a certain way.
Sure, many mitzvahs. We have negative and positive. There's two negative mitzvahs of thought. Even though most mitzvahs are of action, we say this in the Shema. We say this in the Shema every day. Mm-hmm. There's something that we cannot relate to that much because God took away from us the Yetzer Hara. People were very attracted to idol worship. However you will understand this. And that's why in the Torah there's so many prohibitions against it. There was an attraction. There was a big Yetzer Hara. People wanted to be involved in idol worship. And when Ezra built a second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara tells us a gewaltige story, that there was such a arousal that Ezra decreed a 3-day fast. I never fasted 3 days. They say that the first day is the hardest. Then it gets easier. But still, it's Yena, and at the end of 3 days, and we daven that Hashem should get rid of the Yetzer Hara of idol worship. And the temple was just rebuilt, and out of the Holy of Holies came what appeared to be a lion or a lioness of fire. And Ezra says, that's the Yetzer Hara for idol worship. And they captured it in some sort of lead barrel. The Gemara goes into details. And from then on, we no longer have a taiva for Avodah Zarah. And now that we felt, that was a good one. So we went further. So then we began to daven that Hashem should take away the Yetzer Hara for any sexual misconduct. And another lion came out. And we captured the lion. But when we captured the lion, there was no reproduction in the world, the Gemara says. Even the chickens were not laying the eggs, or they were not fertilized, or whatever the thing happened over there. And we realized that no, that the world cannot go on. It is a very deep story. So we set it free. But when we set that lion free, we wounded one of its whiskers, and we pulled out a fiery mustache. And that's why the Gemara says that people lost the desire for their close relatives. For the father, for the mother, for the sister. You know, once God takes away the taiva, the whole thing is foolish. Same thing with Avodah Zarah. But people used to have a taiva. Oh, so coming back. So what are the mitzvahs of thought? We say in the Shema, don't follow thoughts connected to idol worship or connected to the misbehavior. Now, the Alter Rebbe is going to write later, which is very important, that we don't have the power to choose what enters our mind. Tzadikim do, we don't. You don't have the koyach. Every now and then, thoughts will come in. Even someone who's really doing their best, and I want to be connected to God, I want to do what God wants, certain thoughts will come into your head. The question will be not whether it will come into your head. The question now is, now what? And now you have a choice. You can either distract yourself, delete it, I'm going to think about something else, or you can keep on giving thought to it. That is where we have the choice. So that's a negative mitzvah of thought. The positive mitzvah of thought is everything. In other words, Bachlal, most people, hopefully, are mindful people. Before you do something, you think it through. Some of us think it through for a moment. Sometimes people actually think things through.
Mostly people do
Asiya Daim
in the morning.
No, I want to explain to you. I'll get to that in a second. Hold on. First of all, in other words, once, let's say you chose to dedicate a year to do the Rebbe Shlichas here. So then every thought that is connected to your Avodah is a mitzvah thought. We decided we're going to get married, we're going to build a Yiddish family. Part of that means Parnasa, everything, all of that, these are any thought that is connected of how will I be doing the things that I need to do in the context of I'm living a Yiddish life for God. That's a mitzvah thought. That's a mitzvah thought. Even more, if you need a rest, we need God made us that way. And you know what? I'm going to take now an hour rest. And let's say I like reading a book. That's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah rest. That's vital a mitzvah. If the content is neutral, it's a mitzvah. Everything we're doing are mitzvahs. Or God forbid, not. Now, there's something else that human people have a nature, being that there's so many things we have to do to protect ourselves, that we become habituated in a good way. It's almost like self-hypnosis. We're all that way. So once I learned how to brush my teeth, when I was, I don't know, 1 year old, 2 years old, whenever my mom told me how to brush my teeth. So then there's a whole say that you open up the faucet. Do you even know, do you put the toothpaste on the brush before the faucet or after the faucet? I think most people won't even know how they do it. Why? Because what happens is that once we learned how to do something, to free the mind up, to allow the mind to be focused on that which is more challenging, the mind mamash, I learned how to do it, it's mamash automatic pilot. And a big part of our lives is on automatic pilot, and I think that's a blessing as long as we don't do the important things on that automatic pilot. Because you're right, I can daven Shemona Esrei also on automatic pilot, and I maybe even said every single word. But all of a sudden, how am I already up to here? Okay, so there was less thought involved. But if a person is making an effort, adarabah, and saying, no, a mitzvah I'll be mindful of, I'll be thoughtful of. That's a mitzvah of thought. Just the thinking part together with the thought. In other words, you can speak without thought. So the thought is a mitzvah. Okay, so the garments of the mitzvahs are the garments of God, and therefore, we become connected to God. How? Because ki'ilu, if this is God's garment, the example that men use for a mitzvah is a talus, just to give this metaphor. So when you put a talus around you, it's almost like God is hugging you. Because if God is embodied in the mitzvah, and the mitzvah is around you, so then that's the embrace of Hashem. Does that make sense? Now, Tanya Peirikei does something that the Alter Rebbe will continuously do. If I were to ask you, instead of telling me about all the 613 mitzvahs, can you put all of the mitzvahs into few categories? And what would they be? What would be a simplified way of categorizing them, all of the mitzvahs?
Positive
and negative. No. Give me another. Between man and God, between man and man. There's another very generic categorization. It's very interesting. Throughout Tanya, there is Torah and mitzvahs. Mamash, like two separate things. Learning and everything else. If we would not know from the Torah what to do, there would be nothing else. That's why it's so chashuv. You can make it stand on its own. If I would not be told what to do, then I wouldn't know what to do. So it's like the root of everything is the Torah. Now, I'm not saying that the only part of Torah is that part that's telling me what to do. There are many other parts of Torah that have nothing to do with what I need to do. But there is the Torah and the mitzvahs. If garments is God hugging you, because the garments, by definition, like I'm in my jacket, the jacket is around me, where does the Torah go? Does the Torah go around you, or does the Torah go in you? So that is where Torah is different than all the mitzvahs. And the Alter Rebbe dedicates a whole Peirikei for that. The mitzvahs don't go in you. I'm into the mitzvahs. The opposite. I am in the mitzvah. Torah and lahavdil any other knowledge is just like when a person says, I'm eating food. Now, food goes into the lower part of goes into your stomach. But it's something out there that you chew and you digest. Mamish, the same thing happens, because we're dividing the person into moichin and midas. Whatever happens in the level of midas happens in the moichin. Each level mirrors the other. Same process that happens when you eat bread, same process happens when you study. There's something out there. There's wisdom out there. You're taking it in. What happens when you take it in? You chew it. How do you chew it? You hear it, you speak it, you ask it, you challenge it. And then, what do you do with the bread that you eat? The good, the body ingests. The bad, the body expels. Same thing we do with wisdom. I'm not speaking about Torah. By Torah, there's nothing to expel. But from the world, the Torah is like mana. It's all good. You take it in, you digest it. So mitzvahs go around you. Am I connected to God when I do a mitzvah? Yes. How am I connected to God? Because I am doing the mitzvah by using my garment, and the mitzvah becomes God's garment. So I'm inside of God's garment. It means God is around me. I'm in God's garment. When I'm learning Torah, God is going inside of me. Mamash. And there are many verses in the Torah that speak about the greatness of Torah, using the word of eating food or drinking liquid, or the Torah is in my stomach. They use these expressions because Torah goes inside of you. Now, when Torah goes inside of you, you mamish own it. You own it. It empowers you vis-a-vis godliness a lot more than all the other mitzvahs, a lot more. Because the other mitzvahs are not in you, they're just around you. And this goes inside of you. And then the Alter Rebbe adds another detail. When you learn Torah, and this you can say on all them, on any knowledge, lahavdil, when you learn something, just think of the image. When you learn 1 + 1 = 2, before you knew that, where was that?
There.
Out there. It's everywhere. Wisdom is everywhere. And Bechal, wisdom doesn't change. 1 + 1 = 2 is here and it's there. Before you understand it, before you understand something, it's correct to say that the wisdom is around you because it's out there. So it's surrounding you. Even when you know what you want to learn, so you're getting near it, but it's still outside of you. Before you understood it, then you have to delve into it. Again, you're going in it. The it is around you. When you chop it, when you understand it, then it goes inside of you. But do you fully understand the Torah? No, the Torah is infinite wisdom. So as much as you get some of it which goes inside of you, there's a lot of it that still remains outside of you. So the Alter Rebbe says that the unity, the union that we create with God when we learn Torah is more than all the other mitzvahs, and it's more than any other union that you see in this world. In this world, if two things want to be put together. So, like, the great example. So one, cup B went inside cup A. It's either this is the inner one or this is the inner one. But when it comes to learning Torah, since Torah is God's wisdom, which is infinite, and you can never say that all of it, you understood all of it. No matter how much you understood, there's still a lot that is still around you. It's still out there. So at the same time, something is in you. At the same time, that thing is around you. You got that? It's in you and it's around you. There is no connection between two entities more than a Yid learning Torah. And this is not true with other wisdoms. Other wisdoms, anything that is of the world has a limit. It could be that when I'm learning something, before I fully get it, some of it is in me, some of it is not. But eventually, I'll get it. And if not me, because I'm limited, someone else can get it. The Torah is a knowledge that is godly that no one can fully get. No matter how much you learn, it's deeper and it's deeper and it's deeper. You're getting this concept? So who's embracing whom? By a mitzvah, God is embracing me. Normally, when I study, I'm embracing the knowledge. I'm surrounding the knowledge. And by Torah, both things are happening at the same time. And the words of the Alter Rebbe, She'en yichud kamoyu. And that's why you're going to find so many statements that we have, how the Talmud Torah keneged kulam. There's something unique about the mitzvah of learning Torah. It's not just another mitzvah. I'm not minimizing a mitzvah. But sometimes we put learning Torah on a whole different pedestal. Why? Because what's the purpose of it all? What's the purpose of doing mitzvahs? What's the purpose of learning Torah? What's the purpose? What would you answer? Okay. So one second. If that's the purpose, then mitzvahs, as we'll learn, bring God down here more than Torah. If the purpose is, in Perikei, is for me to be connected to God, and you answered very good because Chabad Chassidus emphasizes what you said, but both are true. Our purpose is to get close to God. How do I get close to God? How would you do that? God is infinite. And the answer is either by doing mitzvahs or by learning Torah. The oneness that I have with God through learning Torah is beyond the oneness that I have with God through learning mitzvahs. And you know something? Look now in the religious world. You'll notice that people that don't yet learn Hasidus, what is their greatest thing that they emphasize? Learning Torah. Not that Chas V'Sholom Hasidim don't understand its importance. But like even practically, people get married. In many religious circles, it's advocated that for the first 10 years, go learn in Kolam. We don't advocate that dafka not. Why not? What's wrong with learning Torah? Because if the main purpose for my being here is for me to get close to God, nothing will bring me close to God like learning Torah. But if the main purpose is not about me, what does God wants to have a dwelling place in this world? So what does God need? God needs a body. What makes the body? Mitzvahs, including Torah. But that's a mitzvah of speech. Physical mitzvahs is even better because that brings God down to the lower level, even to the physical level. So Hasidim, especially people who understand the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Alter Rebbe is the one that Mamash explains it, will always emphasize doing mitzvahs with more Yidden, if you have to pick and choose, as a greater importance than learning Torah. Now, no group, God forbid, no one minimizes mitzvahs and no one minimizes Torah. The question is, what are we celebrating? What are we celebrating? It's amazing. And Alter Rebbe also speaks about this in Peirik Hei. And Alter Rebbe says that when a Jew learns Torah, you can learn Torah to get close to God, but then there's something else. You can learn Torah to do a favor to the Torah. What does it mean to do a favor to the Torah? We are never allowed to expound on the mitzvah. We can learn about the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the mitzvah. We cannot add to the mitzvahs. We're not allowed to add to the mitzvahs. You're looking at me.
Make the extra hair covering or the extra week of
Nida. Slow down. Hair covering is biblical. But
so is that an addition?
One second. The Chachamim, when they add a rabbinic law, we need to know it's a rabbinic law. The Chachamim never told us that what we are telling you, God said, never, God forbid. It's a big mistake.
So are those not counted in the 613?
No, they're not 613. Covering the hair, by the way, you're asking good questions. So let me just say a few things. Not everything that Hashem said is in the 613. There are many biblical commandments that are not part of the 613. Covering the hair is a biblical from God. Not only that, covering for women. We're speaking about not you, we're speaking about married women covering the hair. It's called in Chazal Das Moshe. Moses' religion. Das Moshe. Shabbos is not called Das Moshe. But it's Midoirais. The Gemara says that in Ksubas. Having said that, that is for a woman to cover her hair outdoors when she's on the street, a married woman. Covering the hair in the house, that is a rabbinic obligation. There you go. And that's what the Gemara calls Das Yehudis. Jewish, not Moses. Moses means Moses heard from God. What we added, it's called Jewish religion. Midai Raisa, Midai Rabbanan. Very important. And then you have Minig.
No, but you said Das
Moshe. These are the words that's used for hair covering. Das Moshe, Das Yehudis. Very rare expressions.
Das Yehudis is more removed.
Das Yehudis means rabbinic.
Oh, it's the synonymous.
Yeah.
And
even though it's
Moshe is Teresa?
Yeah.
You said we can't make the mitzvah. We can't add.
We're not allowed to add. We're not allowed to.
But you can't make it more stringent or
you can make a fence as long you can make a fence around the Torah as long as you know that this is the fence and not the Torah. Very good.
Added.
The women did that. That was a chumra that the women added. There are times that you need that extra week, but you have to be knowledgeable, and it gets complex to know when you need, when you don't. So the women decided, in order for people not to make a mistake, always to add that extra week. That's called a chumra that became a rabbinic law. Amar Rav Zeira, Benois Yisrael, Hechmiru Al Atzman, that Jewish women were machban on themselves, etc.
Are there other mitzvahs like that?
Sure. Many. Sure. I can give a whole class on this, but I want to get one thing important. That one of the purposes of learning, not even Hasidus, Pasha, to learn, it's very important to know what is biblical and what's rabbinic. Not because, God forbid, we minimize rabbinic. Because just confusing the rabbinic with biblical is a sin. You know, what was the first sin? What was the original sin? There's a big machloike. So the original sin is that Chava and Adam ate from something. Okay. The Ramban, one of the traditional commentators say, the original sin was that God told Adam, don't eat from whatever that was. You know what Adam told Chava? Adam Chava told her, that God said not to eat and not to touch. And that was the sin. Because if he would have told Chava the truth, what was the truth? God said, don't eat. Then Adam could have said, I'm suggesting that we shouldn't even touch. Fine. Fine. You want that? That's not, you're not saying there's 613 mitzvahs, 614 mitzvahs. You're saying, like you have a home. I don't want a ganav to enter my home. But you know what I can say? If it's very dangerous, I'm going to put up a fence over there by the street, not because my home is on the street. I don't live in my front yard. A precaution. If I'll put a fence up over there, it becomes double hard for a ganav to break in. That's okay. No, Hashem said, don't cook meat and milk. So the Chachamim said, you know what? Don't even eat them together. But that's midrabanan. We have to know that. God never said you can't have meat and milk. God says you're not allowed to cook meat and milk and eat them if they were cooked together. If they were not cooked together, midoy raisa, you can eat it. The Chachamim added, a lot of what we do is midrabanan, but you have to know that. That's not the adding that I'm talking about. So mitzvahs, we have to learn them. They are what they are. But the oral Torah is continuously growing. The oral Torah is growing. Now there's a system. You can't just say anything and say, this is Torah. But once you learn, it's going to take you 20 years to learn the rules and the system and to accumulate enough Torah knowledge, then you have the right to add to the Torah. You're going to add a new nuance, a new detail. You're not changing a halacha. You're giving another reason. You're giving another insight. This now becomes part of Torah. In other words, that the fact we are able to make the Torah bigger. Who benefits if there is a bigger Torah? God benefits. We can't make the mitzvahs bigger. Adding fences doesn't make the mitzvahs bigger. It makes more fences. Finished. Tefillin is tefillin.
Wait, how do we make the
Torah
bigger?
The Torah, the scholarship of Torah is the only part of Yiddishkeit that we have a mitzvah to enlarge it within a certain framework. Is a person cannot go and just give a Torah. I'm gonna tell you a medrash. No, many people do that now. But there's a system when people learn a lot. Like, look, there's the Mishnah, then you have the Gemara. It grew. Then you have Rashi. Then you have Tosfos. It's growing. A lot of things that are written there. None of them contradict anything that came earlier, but it was never so worked out. It was never so nuanced. So think about that. The Torah is growing. So the Alter Rebbe is saying that when we learn Torah, no matter from which angle you're looking at, I want to get close to God, Torah will get you closer to God than mitzvahs. Mitzvahs only allow you to be wrapped up by God, surrounded by God. When you learn Torah, you have God inside of you. You're eating up God. And on top of that, if the main purpose of Torah for Hasidim won't be about me getting close to God, is that God wants to come down to this world, the medium through which God comes down is through the Torah. The only part of Yiddishkeit that we have the right and the mitzvah to make larger is Torah. Isn't that awesome? So it's good for God. The greater the Torah, the more in which God can manifest there.
So our increasingly strict fences?
No. I'm not talking about fences at all. When I'm saying Torah, I'm scholarship learning, understanding something more detailed. Yeah. Now, many times they result in, the real truth is that the people that are very, very knowledgeable will always be more lenient. Many things that we behave now is because we have a doubt, so to be safe. Mm-hmm. People that are extremely knowledgeable always say that some of what we became common practice is beyond the chumrah, and there's no need for it. Mm-hmm. But you have to be careful. Sometimes you hear that and you don't know where to draw the line. So sometimes people just don't say anything. But you do see over the years, even now, especially now, many women's issues and mikveh issues, that Rabbanim are becoming a lot more lenient. It was always more lenient. They're becoming more lenient. Without going into details in many areas. Because Bechal, many people are becoming more learned. And there's no fear that if I'm going to say this, they're going to apply it. People are learned. People have access to knowledge the way no one ever had, which is a good thing. Yeah. I think we are the first generation in my life that it's going the opposite. And not from people that are giving up the yoke of God, chas v'shalom. Like Pesach, getting ready for Pesach is becoming less burdensome because there was an overboard on Chumras and in many other areas in a good way. People don't know, I want to know the halacha, I want to kiss Chumra, either I will do it or I won't do it, I don't have to do all the Chumras. But I'm talking about the Pasha, the learning. Books, how many books do we have today on Torah? When Moshe gave the Torah, we didn't have all these books. So the Torah grew. The mitzvahs didn't grow one cent. It was the same exact kashrus. Forget about the rabbinic laws. It was the same mitzvahs. But on the mitzvahs, how many books were written out to explain the mitzvahs? Thousands of books. So that benefits God. God has more letters through which to manifest in this world. So Torah is special beyond all of the mitzvahs in this context. Now later on in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is going to change all that. Mamash, I think in Perek Lamed Hey, chapter 35, he's going to say exactly what you said. That if you're speaking about from God's perspective, or God wants mitzvahs more than Torah, from God's perspective. But from our perspective, in other words, there has to be some part of us that yearns to get closer to God. We should know that learning Torah brings us closer to God than any other mitzvah. Then you're going to have another area at the end by the letters. The Alter Rebbe says prayer. So it becomes then a war between three. A competition, a healthy competition. Mitzvahs, Torah, and Tefillah. And you learn Chassidus, one mimer, mitzvahs is the greatest, Torah is the greatest, Tefillah is the greatest, and it's all emes. In certain areas, this is greater, that's greater. But Perek Hey speaks about the uniqueness about Torah, but then he closes it again, just to get that clear, is that Torah and mitzvahs generally are created by us, meaning it happens when we do it, and we do it not by understanding it, we don't do it by feeling it. If you feel for God like a tzaddikus, there's no mitzvah. And if a person does a mitzvah with zero feelings, there's a mitzvah. There is the mitzvah. It's a chaval, there's no feeling. Mitzvahs are dafka, thought, speech, and actions, with very few exceptions. Just the Alter Rebbe doesn't speak about it here. There are exceptions. There are mitzvahs of the heart. It's called chayvas halavavis, but they're very few. What are the chayvas halavavis? Who knows? There are mitzvahs that are about understanding and feeling. You know what they are?
Is that duties of the heart?
Duties of, that's the book. So the whole book was written of chayvas halavavis because it's an exception. But how many mitzvahs are there already? So think, what's a mitzvah of understanding, for example? There's a mitzvah to understand God to the max that you could. It's called Da Elokei Avicha. Know God, your God. For that you have to learn Chassidus. There is no other area in Torah that explains the way Chassidus explains. Shari Yichud V'Emuna helps you fulfill that mitzvah, to know God.
So how do other groups?
Well, they learn that Rambam. It's not that no one wrote about it. The Rambam begins speaking about God. He writes halachas, the very, very deep, abstract halachas. The Rebbe is a gavaldik, how he shows that what Chabad Chassidus says is exactly what the Rambam says in different words. And you should just know something, that when you have an idea and you hear the idea from these words, from those words, you understand it a lot better. It's like when you look at something, you look at it from this angle, you look at it from that angle, you're seeing the same thing, but it helps. There are many things that you heard already. If someone will give you new words, you'll say, I know that, but the fact that you never heard it in those words, it's to your advantage, because then you're seeing it from another angle. Then, so there's a mitzvah of knowing God, there's a mitzvah of loving God, there's a mitzvah of being in awe of God. These are mitzvahs of the heart. But these are really exceptions. Mamish exceptions. Mamish, 99%, 98%, whatever the percentage, ruba of mitzvahs is thinking or not thinking, speaking or not speaking, doing or not doing. And that's we're gonna get, that's where the war is really happening. In other words, the tug of war, if you want to just word it that way, between the two souls, we'll get to that soon, a couple of chapters from now, is about your garments. In other words, your godly soul is your godly soul. It is what it is. The animal soul is the animal soul. Where is your struggle? In the garments. Ashgacha Pratis, so many Polish Yidden were in the garment business. See, garments, it's amazing. And the world now, for good and bad, how much it's into garments, like sugar, because it's all about the garments. There's something very deep about the garments. And God is also in the garments. The mitzvah is right to garments. Like, don't be that external. You can argue the whole Yiddishkeit isn't the external. not to minimize the secondary importance of being a pnimi, but hamaisa hu ha'ikar. That's going to be a theme that we're going to learn again and again and again and again and again. Many people, you know, say that people that are observant, they lack heart. First of all, they should have heart, but at least they're observant. That's what God wants. If you need for something to happen, then if it happened, it's good. It could have happened better. It happened. If it doesn't happen, the person can have the best intentions. They wanted to do it. They thought about doing it. They thought about you. They didn't do it. If what you need is something to happen, God wants something to happen. God wants for the mitzvahs to happen through Jews, which means through me. Okay. So that's good. So we're going to continue next week. We're going to read it inside. But that was basically Tanya Pedek. Hey.